Amen. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with another opportunity to come together to worship you with one another. We thank you for blessing us with your Spirit. We thank you for helping our hearts, Lord, to tune in to you. We thank you, Lord, for how you open our eyes and open our spirits to respond to you. And so we ask that as we turn our attention now to your word, that you continue that great work, that you would, Lord, tailor your truth to each heart as each heart has need. We ask that we just be caught up in the rapture of you. And we ask that you do these things in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. 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 You may be seated. I'm going to jump right in. Today's message is part three in our series on walking with Christ. And I was singing so hard with y'all, I forgot I had to speak. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I praise the Lord. Today's message in our series on walking with Christ. Today's message is titled, Walking in Fascination with the Fascinating One. Walking in Fascination. We're talking about fascination this morning. That thing that's kind of hard to put your finger on, kind of hard to describe, that thing that God does. Those things that God does that leaves us going, huh, and celebrating with one another and saying things that, well, I'll tell you about the things we say. But turn to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 21 and verse 23. John chapter 14, our text is John 14, 21 and 23. John 14, 21 and 23. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. The Amplified Version says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Amen. The Lord has chosen for now to be unseen. For now, for a little while. One day we'll see him face to face, but the Lord has chosen for now to be unseen. But unseen does not mean he wants to be unnoticed. He definitely wants to be noticed. And this is a promise, the one that we read, this is a promise from him of self-revelation. I'm going to reveal myself to you. But the Lord has chosen for now to be unseen. But unseen doesn't mean he wants to be unnoticed. He definitely wants to be noticed. And this passage that we read is a promise from him of self-revelation and intimate presence. Choosing to live inside of us. As he has. He wants to be noticed. Arranging the heavens to declare his glory. Filling the earth with his glory. He wants to be noticed. And beyond that, he wants to be wonderful to us. When we notice him, it's not a slip up. It's not like the Truman Show, where he just kind of shows himself but really didn't intend to. He dropped something or somebody kicked something over. when we notice him, it's not an accident. It's not a slip up. If you're taking notes, here's the main idea. And it's a prayer. And here's the prayer. Lord, let me freshly embrace the wonder of who you are today and this coming week. Lord, let me freshly embrace the wonder of who you are today and this coming week. If all this message inspires you to do is that, to extend your arms to heaven and to pray those words, if that's all you get out of this morning, because everything else I'm going to say this morning is a prompt to get you to do that. So the main idea is that prayer. And if what you hear in the rest of this message inspires you or reminds you or prompts you to pray that prayer, then it will have done its work. In her selected book of poems, Mary Oliver asked this question. She said, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Isn't that a great question? Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. What if our answer is to walk in wonder with the one who made it? What do I want to do with this one wild and precious life? I want to walk in wonder with the one who made it, with the one who knows what makes it tick, with the one who gave it to me, with the one who knows all about it. Fascination is the soul's response. Let me be clear. Here's what we're talking about this morning and what we're not. We're talking about fascination. And fascination is the soul's response to the Lord's presence and his works that exceed explanation. It's an awakened attentiveness that's stirred by something so glorious, so alive, that it invites us to keep looking even when words fall short. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're going to unpack. That kind of fascination. It's the soul's response to the Lord's presence and his works that exceeds explanation. An awakened attentiveness stirred by something so glorious, so alive, that it invites us to keep looking even when words fall short. It's not just about curiosity, it's reverent curiosity. It's not just about what's happening, it's knowing that what's happening is from God. It's not just interest, it's holy intrigue. It's that, wait, what was that? When you sense that there's more going on than you can see. Think Moses and the burning bush. It's the feeling you get when you and others witness something that's so radiant, you all start speaking, but none of you quite know what to say. In Luke 9:33, where Peter sees Jesus transfigured, and he blurts out, Master, it's good for us to be here, offering to build shelters, trying to hold the moment still. The scripture adds, he didn't know what he was talking about. That's fascination. When glory overwhelms vocabulary, that's glory. When the Samaritan woman encountered Jesus at the well and he told her about her previous relationships, to put it mildly, her retelling of it to the townspeople was, he told me everything I ever did. But that's not what he did. That's not what he did. Why did she go back and tell them that Jesus told her everything she did when all he did was just sort of recount her marriages? Yeah. Because what he did tell her was enough to convince her that he knew the rest of the story. And he didn't need to go into any more details. I got it. I got it. That's enough. Dropping my bucket, running to town. See, I told you this month that we were going to be practical about walking with Christ this month. So why are we talking about this today? Why are we talking about something that seems so abstract, like fascination? If we're zeroing in on practicality, why are we talking about an abstract? The reason why we're talking about fascination is because, like the Samaritan woman, noticing God at work leads to trusting God more deeply. When we notice God at work, it leads to us trusting him more deeply. It moves us out of the realm of religion and into the realm of relationship. It reminds us that we serve a living God and not just a theological concept. So noticing is very practical. It helps to nurture the trust that we spoke about last week. Holy fascination is not about entertainment. It's not about entertainment. Its purpose is to lead us to greater spiritual awareness, personal growth, and intimacy with our Savior. It's not the kind of fascination you have with a toy. This kind of fascination is not a spiritual game. It's not about being amused by God. It's about being amazed by God. And it's not just a creative way to conceptualize Christian living. It's not pastors being so creative. It's not that. It's walking awake. Walking by faith awake. It's paying attention. It's noticing. It's internalizing. Wonder leads to worship. Wonder leads to worship. Last week, I spoke heavily about trust. So think of last week's message and today's message like this. If trust is the meat of the matter, fascination is the seasoning. It's what makes faith vivid and flavorful and alive. Trust says, it is well with my soul. I'm going to be okay even if everything else isn't, because I know whom I have believed. That's what trust says. Fascination says, I want to see what's next. What's in this box the Lord left on my porch this morning? Who's going to bring something memorable into my life today? What wonders from him might I see today? That's fascination. That's living awake and alive and seasoning our faith. Scripture says of Jesus, says many things, but you often hear him described as the people saying, it says they were amazed. It says they wondered. It says that they marveled. It says they asked among themselves. They were awake. They were alert. They said something different's going on here. And they were trying to process it. And they were talking about it and trying to together figure out what was this phenomenon that was taking place in their life that was beyond the religious training and the religious words that they were accustomed to. Who is this person? There was fascination written all over him. In fact, his very name, according to Isaiah 9, is Wonderful. How'd you like to have that name? Wonderful Barnes. That same Jesus is among us and is in us today. That same Jesus, not a different one, that same Jesus who died and who came from heaven to earth, from the grave to the sky. That same Jesus, the same one that they said, I'm amazed, I'm wondering, I'm marveling. What is this? That same Jesus lives in us. So he is no less amazing. And he is no less wonderful. Jesus is the embodiment of divine mystery. He's the embodiment of it. When you look at the skies and you look at the heavens and you look at all the wonders of earth, Jesus is the embodiment of divine mystery, of majesty and beauty. He's the source of it all. John 1:14 says, we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. Isaiah 6:3 says, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory. God is not only good, he's gloriously captivating. That's the God we serve. He's not just good all the time. He's captivating. To know him is to say, oh, Lord. To know him is to say, oh, Lord, you are endlessly beautiful. And I want to keep looking. So many writers, so many hymnists, so many poets and authors have tried to capture how fascinating the Lord is in words. And here's one of my contributions. I wrote this little poem. Life in Christ is a symphony of many movements, accented by surprising notes of glory. The universe is his orchestra. He is the composer and conductor, and the music never ends. But see, this fascination doesn't disappear after we've danced to the music with it once. You know, there's some people you dance with once, and there's other people that you want a second dance. You want a third dance, and you want to go to the after party and dance. The music that we dance to and the one we're dancing with keeps inviting us to dance again, not to the same song, different songs in life, but still inviting us to dance and to be fascinated, to be caught up in wonder. That's what I mean when I say the Lord fascinates us forward. You've heard me say that phrase. The Lord fascinates us forward. In Luke 24, we read about two disciples walking to Emmaus. They walked with the resurrected Christ, not knowing who he was. And he shared the scriptures with them in such a way that when he left them, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" They got up, it says, and returned to Jerusalem at once. That was 7 miles. Normally a two-hour walk, two-and-a-half-hour walk. They'd already finished that two-and-a-half-hour walk. Jesus showed up, and they turned around and walked back to Jerusalem immediately. Of course, it says they hurried back, so it probably took them an hour and a half, maybe an hour, 45 minutes. But they were excited. They wanted to get back, and that's what fascination does. It makes you want to tell somebody. It makes you want to tell somebody. Now, I want you to imagine walking through an art gallery. Just to make it clear. Imagine walking through an art gallery, and at first you're distracted. Maybe just kind of wandering around, not purposefully looking at anything. Maybe checking your phone, rushing past the paintings. But then one catches your eye. One catches your eye, and you slow down. And you start to notice the texture. You notice the light, the emotion in the brush strokes. And suddenly you're not just looking, you're seeing. You're seeing. When we're attuned to the fascination of the Lord, we begin to see. Daily life becomes a gallery of divine brush strokes. The sunrise is not just weather. It's a brushstroke. The fresh inspiration that we got is not just an aha moment. It's a brushstroke. The graceful resolution of a conflict with a loved one. A brushstroke. The kindness of a stranger. Not luck. It's a brushstroke. Even our sorrow, when it's treated by God with his comfort, becomes a brushstroke. Distress and anxiety cast upon him, treated by God because he cares for us, a brushstroke. And those jaw-dropping miracles, those ones that make us just stop in our tracks, those aren't coincidences. Those are bold brushstrokes. You search for a lost check like me. Wandering around the house looking for that lost check. Asking Laverne, did you see that check, Laverne? Laverne saying, I ain't seen no check. I said, I just had that check. I had it on these two pieces of paper and I put it on my desk. What happened? Did it evaporate? Did it vanish? Did the Lord take it back? Couldn't find the check. Look for an hour. You know what I'm talking about. Then it occurred to me, well, let's just ask the Lord, see if he can help me find the check. Lord, would you help me find that check? No more than a minute later, I found that check. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't always happen that way, but it happens enough. And it's connected with that prayer request enough to say, wait a minute. God is at work here. It's when you hear somebody say, and you've heard them say, look at God. Or when John Wesley says, how does he do that? Or Jim Allen says, I got this strange all rightness going on. Or Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty, they sing, he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. Or old school Rance Allen rises up and says, something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. See, now I might be crazy and I might be delusional about this fascination thing, but everybody's not. It fascinates me that the invisible God who created all we can see remains unseen and still can be more captivating than anything we see. That's kind of crazy. There's a fascination factor that the Lord wants to build and wants to maintain in our fellowship with him. And similar to last week, he wants us to marvel, not just at what he does, but at who he is. Psalm 86:10 says, for you are great and you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. David prayed, one thing I've asked from the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life and to meditate in his temple. Yes. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul. You know, I stop right there. I've been singing that all my life. And you know what I noticed? And I don't even think the brother who wrote the song noticed this. Then sings my soul, not my lips. Not my mouth. No, this penetrated so deeply that my soul is singing and it's just coming out of my mouth. That's all. My mouth is just the door letting it out. But it's my soul that's singing. How great thou art. That's fascination. That's fascination. It's soul deep. Hillsong. Hillsong did a song called So Will I. Oh, yeah. And it says, God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. Yes. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made, every burning star, a signal fire of grace. Hallelujah. If creation sings praises, so will I. Whew. As I shared last week, we're instructed to live by faith and not by sight. That means God's never going to so overwhelm us with wonders that we no longer need to trust him. But living by faith doesn't mean living without evidence. In John 16:14, Jesus said of the Spirit, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. We don't control these fascinating manifestations. They come from God by his Holy Spirit, and he gives them with purpose, not randomly, but to augment our faith. According to 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, he's placed his Spirit within us so we may understand what God has freely given us. So how do we live this out practically, Pastor? How do we keep our hearts tuned to wonder in the middle of the ordinary days, in the middle of an ordinary week? How do we tune our hearts to wonder? How do we live in that place of fascination? Make it practical, make it plain, Pastor. Fascination is something that happens to us, yes. But it's also something that we extract from life. It happens to us, but God has also given us tools to extract fascination from life. And the way that, and those tools are one is by first just paying attention, believing that God is at work in us. And what is God showing me here? And that he's always at work in the world, believing that. And I say, Lord, what are you up to today? And how can I be part of it? That's my prayer in the morning. I wake up, Lord, what are you up to today? And how can I be part of it? I'm talking to him. Again, I have a relationship. I don't need a formula. I got a relationship. So we excavate fascination through our relationship with him. And so I'm saying, Lord, what are you up to today? And how can I be part of it? We're his body. He's at work on the earth, and we're his body. He works through his body. So by paying attention, secondly, by praying attention. Praying attention by engaging the Lord in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our actions. God will fascinate us through his word. He'll fascinate us through nature. He'll fascinate us through people and even through play. Praying attention helps us to see the burning bushes in our daily life. And then thirdly, by just believing the gospel. Believe the gospel. Grace allows us to review our game film with the Lord. Our daily game film. Our daily game film. Growing in fascination includes seeing and studying our own spiritual journey. See, part of the fascination is taking time to look at yourself. Part of the fascination is just taking time to take a look at you, to take a look at your journey, to look at your growth, to look at your resistance, to look at your points of resistance. Don't let shame shut you down from studying and learning about yourself. Knowing why I said that hurtful thing can be just as important as apologizing for saying it. What else is going on under the hood, Lord, that kind of exhaust came out? That kind of smoke. That's some strange smoke. Uh-huh. What's going on under the hood that made that happen? And you sit with the Lord and you talk to the Lord, and the Lord says, let's go take a look. Not no shame, not no judgment. We're just going to fix the engine. We're going to fix the engine. This is not about you being bad and naughty. This is about let's fix the engine. See, I'm your helper, not your judge. See, I'm in you to be a companion and an instructor and a coach. So that bad smoke is coming out. Let's figure out why. What's knocking in that engine? There's a lifelong fascination, mystery, and adventure in him as he teaches us how to live in him. I can't speak for others, but as the years go by, I find that my life increasingly is stimulating. It's not always fun, not always pleasant, not always easy, especially you start getting older, the little creaks and cranks and all kinds of crutches. But it's always stimulating. And I attribute this to my association with the living Christ. Because with his involvement, every event, every mood, every interaction, regardless of its effect on me, becomes a stepping stone to greater discovery. Discovery about life, about others, about myself, and most importantly, about my relationship with Christ himself. See, I don't expect every day of life to be exotic. I don't expect every day of life to just be dazzling. I don't expect every day of life to feel like some brand new, exciting adventure. I don't feel like every day is going to be me on a dude ranch. I don't feel like every day is going to be on some exotic vacation or me on some, you know, fast moving ride or something. I don't expect every day to be dazzling like that. But with Christ, even the familiar can be fresh. Even the everydayness can be fresh. I'm gaining a deeper understanding of Paul's words, for to me to live is Christ. Yes. Yes. For me to live is Christ. I mean, think about what he's saying there. He didn't say, you know, Christ is an accessory to my life. You know, Christ is one of many things that I enjoy. You know, he's the bracelet I wear on special occasions or the shirt that I wear on another occasion. You know, he's not the meal I eat on a special. He is my life. Christ is my life. To live is Christ. He's the essence of my life. And that means that the essence of something is the indispensable quality that determines its character. That's what the essence is. It's that thing that makes the thing the thing. It's the heart of the thing. It's the active ingredient. That's what the essence is. And that's what Jesus is to me. He is. I got other features and other parts of my life and other things I'm doing. But the essence of my life is him, is Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying. To live is Christ. He's the essence. To die is gain. And he's become that to me by opening my eyes to his reality and his magnificence, by capturing my fascination. I tell people, no, I'm not religious. I'm captivated and enthralled by the one who is the life that walks with me, teaches me, corrects me, surprises me, and loves me, the life that turns ordinary moments into holy ones, the life that makes me want to keep looking and keep learning and keep leaning in. The life that fascinates me, not because I understand him fully, not because I figured him all out, not because I've got this God thing down, not because I figured him out, but because I haven't. That's what keeps me going, and I haven't figured him out. You know, when you figure something out, it's done. You solved that puzzle 15 times, you want a new one. But see, God is not figure outable. He's knowable, but he's not figure outable. Just when you think you got him figured out, he does something else. And just when you think he's going to do it this way, he does it another way. When you think he's not going to come, he comes. And when you think he is going to come, he doesn't. Fascinating. Not random. Not arbitrary. Not knee-jerk. Purposeful. Intentional. Coordinated, connected, all of that. So to us, it looks random because we don't know nothing. We don't see all the other pieces, so it looks random to us. And that mystery about not knowing him is not intended to be a barrier. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to keep on walking, keep on wondering, keep on worshiping. So I'm done. May the Lord bless you this week. May you walk this week in fascination. May you notice the divine brushstrokes. May your soul keep looking, because he's endlessly beautiful. And I'll say it again. If all this message does for you is cause you to extend your arms to heaven afresh and say, Lord, let me embrace the wonder of who you are today and this coming week, then it's accomplished its purpose. I'm done.